purity, purity of life, right? To be pleasing to God in all things, and the role that God's word needs to play in our pursuit of that. That's what we're going to be looking at. As we look at Psalm 119, we're going to be looking at what God has to say about purity. Now, before we jump into our passage, I want you guys to think about something for just a moment. What is an example of something that is really, really hard unless you have the right tool for the job? Okay, my dad always talked about when I was growing up, get the right tool for the job. It makes a world of difference. Okay, what's something that would be really, really hard if you didn't have the right tool for the job? Hannah? Scuba diving. Yes, absolutely. You've got to have sunscreen. Right? No, you've got to have your scuba gear. How about you, Emily? Mountain climbing. Okay, I've rock climbed at a gym before many, many years ago and many, many pounds ago. What do you need for rock climbing? Are they carabiners? Is that right? Did you say ants? Oh, hands. Yeah, you really need hands if you're going to... Yes, Natalia. Yeah, if you're going to like write a book or a story, you probably need a pencil or something like that. Asher? Hunting? Okay. Yeah, like if you tried to get a bear with a slingshot, you might not go so well. Oh, wow, you guys got a lot of... Jonathan! Pick Jonathan! Yes, Jonathan.
Playing guitar.
Okay. He's all playing guitar. Oh my goodness, this whole row.
I was laughing more at the lack of reaction.
Playing guitar. Cameron built it up so big. David.
Surgery.
Oh. Whoa, it just got real. Okay, Isaiah.
Making a skyscraper.
Jack.
Drilling a hole without an impact driver.
Drilling a hole without an impact driver. Noah.
Skydiving.
Oh. Noah won, Jonathan. Noah won.
No.
Okay, how about Eden? Haley. Yes, yeah, yes, thank you, Haley. Very true statement. Okay, oh, Eliana.
Taking care of a dog.
What tools are essential in taking care of a dog?
You need a dog.
You're going to take care of a dog. Okay, last one, Gabby.
Sewing.
Okay, so like if I try to sew with a chopstick, it probably wouldn't work very well. Right, okay, you guys get the idea. There are certain things that you might try to accomplish. Okay, you want to hear mine? You want to hear what I came up with? I think yours are better. I had one, and maybe this is just because I can relate to this. Mowing the lawn without a lawnmower. Scissors. Or if you have a big enough lawn, a weed whacker. If the lawnmower breaks and you've got to mow it with the weed whacker, it takes forever. Safety scissors. I had sweeping the floor without a broom. Because I slept the floor last week or something. How about brushing your teeth without a toothbrush? Hey, actually, that one's not a big deal. I've done that for years. Right? All right, you get the idea. You've got to have the right tool for the job, right? If there's something that you want to accomplish, usually there's an instrument that's going to aid you in being successful in doing that. Well, listen. If you want to keep your way pure, if you want to be holy, if you want to be pleasing to the Lord, there are several tools that God loves to use to do that in his people. There's one that we're going to look at tonight that the psalmist describes in Psalm 119. And spoiler alert, it's the word of God. See what I did there? I spoiled it. That's right. No, that's good. All right, let's look together. Psalm 119, we're going to start in verse 9. We're going to go through verse 16. Okay, everybody there? Psalm 119, verse 9. All right, here we go. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. With all my heart, I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word I have treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Yahweh, teach me your statutes. With my lips I have told of all the ordinances of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. In Psalm 119, 9 through verse 16, we see the purifying power of God's word. In this passage, we see the purifying power of God's word. Nothing has the power to purify your life the way that Scripture has the power to purify you. There is nothing that God would rather use to make you more like Jesus than His word. His word holds power to root out sin in your life. It holds power to free you from bondage and slavery to sin. It has the power to help you grow into the fullness of your salvation. Remember, we talked about that yesterday, that you may grow in reference to your salvation when you crave the word and feast on the word of God. God's word convicts, it teaches, it trains, it rebukes, it equips, also that the follower of Jesus Christ might be prepared for every good deed that the Lord has for him or her. The word of God is living and active. It's sharper than two-edged sword, pierces as far and as the division of the soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. It also allows us to see ourselves as we are in God's eyes, which is all that really matters. Sometimes we get caught up in our own self-evaluation of ourselves. The world has terms like self-esteem and different things like that. And what really should be the burden of our hearts is not what we think about ourselves, but what God thinks about us. And God's word reveals that and helps us see that. We're laid bare before God's word. There's no other instrument more effective in bringing purifying power into your life than the word of God. And obviously there's other non-negotiables, right? The body of Christ, fellowship with other believers. There's other passages that talks about the importance of those things. But even as Christians, the centrality of what we fellowship and encourage each other around is the word of God. So it's not like the word of God is pitted against other things that he likes to use to grow us in our salvation. Even things like the church and fellowship and singing, it's to be done around the word of God, right? Colossians 3, singing psalms, encouraging, admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And right before that says, letting the word of God dwell richly among you. Do these things. God's word has to be central. It must be central. God uses his word both to remove sin from our lives and to cultivate holiness in our lives. If you remember John 17, 17, you can just write down that reference. John 17, 17, Jesus' prayer. He says, sanctify them in truth. That's make them holy in your truth. Bring them to holiness in your truth. Your word is truth. There's no other instrument. There's no other tool or utensil in your life that will bring about sanctification, that will bring about holiness or purity of life like God's word. And there's no substitute for this. There's other things that we should surround around God's word, but there shouldn't be a substitute, right? A Christian book is not a substitute for God's word. If you're thinking about a quiet time where you look for God and you shepherd your heart, Christian books can be a great tool to bring in with God's word, but it really shouldn't be a substitute for God's word. Do you get that? Christian books are not bad. They are great, great, great tools, but they're not a substitute for God's word. They should be brought in addition to what we're feeding on in relation to God's word. Christian books or a devotional book or a sermon, even this right now, this isn't a substitute for actually looking at God's word, meditating on God's word, bringing God's word before your own heart in devotion and quiet time. Sermons are great, but we can't say, well, I don't really read my Bible. I just like to listen to good sermons. No. Read your Bible and bring in good sermons to grow and learn from other godly men and be encouraged by that. The word of God must be the primary instrument in the diligent guarding of your heart, in the diligent shepherding of your heart. Remember the first night we talked about keep your heart with all diligence? Well, the watchman who is alert, on guard, protecting the citadel of their heart, right? The castle of their heart, the centrality of who they are, the centrality of who they are. God's word is your primary instrument, the most important instrument in your keeping it. It must be. In Psalm 119, verses 9 through 6, this is the focus, that the word of God is powerful to purify your life. And here we see 8 verses, but there is one subject, and it is the word of God. It's the subject. It's a thread that goes through all of these verses. And the Bible is not just meant for information. God loves to use his word for transformation, to make you more like Jesus. So look at verse 9. How can a young man, and obviously, or a young woman, keep his way or her way pure? Well, by keeping it according to your word. The whole emphasis here is that it is the word of God that keeps a young man pure or woman. Everything that follows in this section is under the theme of verse 9. So now, as we look at the purifying power of God's word, we're going to consider 3 divisions found in this passage. 3 divisions found in this passage. We're going to spend most of our time in the third. There's several subpoints under the third division, but we're going to work our way there. Okay, so the first division, number 1 in your outline, is the foundational question. This is the first division in regards to this passage where we see the purifying power of God's word. The purifying power of God's word. Do you see it there? The foundational question. How can a young man keep his way pure? That's the foundational question. Everything else that flows in this passage is going to flow answering that question. How can a young man or young woman keep their way pure? And did you know that the questions that you ask actually demonstrate a lot about you? This question is a unique one. This question is compelling. This question is otherworldly. This question should make us stop in our tracks. This question should make us want to hear what the person asking this question has to say, because it's important, it's crucial, it's central to the Christian life. It's what really should be on the heart of every Christian, right? If you have been transformed in Christ, a new creation in love with Jesus, you should desire to be holy as God is holy. And so that should lead you to ask the question, oh, well, how can I keep my way pure? I know my heart. Remember what we looked at the first night about what God had to say about our heart apart from him? Wicked. In Genesis 6, the heart of man did only what was evil continually. It's deceitful above all else. I know what my heart is prone to apart from God. How can I keep my way pure? Help. Help me. This is a sweet question. This question is a stark contrast to what most youth ask. Most younger people, and that's what the psalmist is talking about right here. How can a young man keep his way pure? Pure. This is a contrast to what a young person usually would ask. Young people usually ask, well, why can't I do this? Right? Mom, can we go here? I'm not sure. Well, do you think it would help me be pure if I went to this thing? That's not usually what we ask. Well, I don't know. Well, why can't I go here? Everybody else is doing it. I want to be cool like my friends. Can't you help me give in to peer pressure? Right? Usually that's where our hearts go. Why can't I do this? The world says things like, I'll pay attention to God when I'm older. I'm young. It's a little sin. It doesn't really matter. Or you don't even ask a question. You just impulsively do things. And then you get asked, why did you do that? And you're like, I don't know. Were you thinking about it?
No, I wasn't thinking about anything. I just wanted it. So I took all of the candy.
Live it up. You're only young once. That's the kind of thinking that leads to sin. And what God calls us to, if you are in Christ, what God calls you to, if you're a Christian, is purity. And so this is the right question to ask. This is the foundational question. How can I keep my way pure? To be holy is not an option. This is really what should be on the heart of each of us who are in Christ. So that's the foundational question. The foundational question is followed up with a fundamental answer. We see this in the second half of verse 9. First, we saw the foundational question in regards to how we can see the purifying power of God's word. And next, we're going to see the fundamental answer. Here we see the answer, and there's really only one answer that the psalmist gives. It's not one of many options. This is it. This is the key. This is the right tool for the job. This is the right utensil to accomplish the task. The psalmist breaks it down in the simplest of terms. By keeping it according to your word. That is the fundamental answer. That's the fundamental answer to the foundational question. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. God's word, scripture, must be central in helping us do that. Do you want to be holy? Do you want to be pure? Then don't look to the world. Don't look for counsel to unbelieving friends. My mom said I should do this, but I'm not really sure if I should. What do you think I should do, non-believing friend? No. What does God's word say? And who around you loves God also that would have insight, that would help you know God's word, that would point you to God's word, that would encourage you with God's word? Sure, there are other things that help you, right? We talked about this before. The church, Christian friends. But God's word is the authority. Nothing else can trump that. Right? I was just talking to somebody actually within student ministries, and they're trying to share Christ with a friend of theirs who is a believer but has different views. And this person was appealing to their experiences. Well, how can you disagree with me? Are you calling me a liar? I've experienced this. And yet, it always comes back to God's truth. Your experience, my experience, his experience, her experience, their experience, it doesn't override what Scripture says. Scripture is true. Scripture is sure. Scripture is trustworthy, as we looked at earlier today with Jeff. The answer, how can we keep our way pure? By looking and keeping it, keeping our way in accordance with Scripture, by doing what it says. Now, where we're going to spend most of our time this evening is on the fulfilling practice. This is number three. This is number three in your outline. As we see the purifying power of God's word, we started with the foundational question, which was followed up by the fundamental answer. And now what we're going to see is we're going to see the fulfilling practice. And there's seven kind of key things, key words or themes that we're going to go through here to kind of fill this out, to see the fulfilling practice of keeping God's word and watching what it does on our life as we do so. Seven key words that summarize the psalmist's practice of keeping his way according to God's word. Really what this is if keeping your way according to God's word is how you are pure, this is what it looks like practically. If you want to keep your way pure and use God's word to do so, here's an example of what it might look like. This is the fulfilling practice. How can you practically bring God's word into your life? Number one. So this is A. We're on three, subpoint A. Everybody there? We good? Awesome. You guys are doing so well. I really am truly encouraged and blessed by your guys' attentiveness. You guys have just been awesome all weekend in really applying the very thing that we're talking about, which is giving your attention to God's word. So good job. Number one, or A, seek God with all your heart. Your first blank under point three, which was the fulfilling practice, is seek God with all your heart.
Oh, technology.
Awesome. Good job. All right. If you're going to keep God's word, there must be a sincere desire to seek God, right? That's why we come to the word of God, to know the God of the word. It's not just a history book that we just learn about things of the past. No, there's a person that Scripture reveals, primarily God. And so we must seek him. Look at verse 10. With all my heart, I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. You see, the word of God is not the end. The word of God is a means to an end. The word of God isn't just cool because it's just words on a page. The word of God is amazing because it reveals to us God himself. If you want to seek God, you don't need to go on a nature walk. If you want to seek God, you don't get together with friends and meditate. You don't do weird chants. You don't do yoga to seek God. How do you seek God? In his word. And listen, some of those things might sound funny, but if you haven't heard those things, you will. Where there are people who look for God in those things. That's not where God is found. God is most clearly seen in his word. Yes, we can see God in his creation, and we can worship him. Absolutely. But not like we can when we see him revealed in his word. And really, the only reason we can see God in creation as he is revealed is because his word has awakened our hearts to do so. We must seek God with our whole heart. And then as he follows that up, the psalmist clearly means looking at God in his word, because he says, do not let me wander from your commandments. And so if he's wandering from the commandments of God, if he's not seeking to live his life in obedience to truth, that means that he's not seeking God. So to seek God is to stay near to his commandments, to stay near to his word, to stay near to his instruction. There must be a personal seeking of God himself. We must seek to love God, seek to worship God, seek to glorify him in our lives. If you do what the Bible says, but have no love for God, all you have done is transferred your sin into the sin of legalism. To just clean up the outside and do what looks good, but not really care about God, is idolatry, hypocrisy, and legalism. We must be driven to God's word because of a love for God. Next, B, treasure God's instruction in your heart. The fulfilling practice of pursuing purity through God's word includes treasuring, or to treasure, God's instruction in your heart. Look at verse 11. What does he say? Your word I have. Your word I have treasured or stored or kept in my heart. Why? That I may not sin. To sin is to be impure. So if you want to be pure, you want to keep yourself from sin. And the way to keep yourself from sin, a way, an aid in doing that, is to treasure God's word in your heart. We see the psalmist says, your word I have treasured in my heart. This is the second fulfilling practice in keeping God's word and keeping your way pure. We must have a deep valuation of the word of God. You must treasure the word that so that none of its riches might slip through your fingers. I want to get all of it. If you were trying to dig into a treasure box, right, you'd want to try to create as much room in your hands to get as much as you could out of it, and as little would slip through your fingers as possible. That's how we should come to the word of God, that we would want to get every little bit out of it, that we would treasure God's word. This is how it must be in our hearts. This is how God's word must be in our lives if we're going to keep our way pure. And he says, treasure it, because he doesn't want to sin against God. Do you treasure God's word like this? The psalmist understood that if there is not a treasuring of God's word in his life, there is an almost certainty that he will sin against God. But if he treasures God's word, there is a much greater hope of him keeping it. What kinds of things do you treasure? What kind of things do you long for? What kind of things occupy your mind and your heart? C, long for instruction from God. Next, we see long for instruction from God. You need to treasure God's instruction in your heart. And you need to next long for God, or for instruction from God. Look at verse 12. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach or long for instruction from God. He says, teach me your statutes. He's longing for God's word to instruct him, for him to be taught by God's word, to know God's commandments. God, what do you want for me in my life? I know that your instruction for me is good, and so I want it, right? Does that come naturally? When you get rules, usually what do you think about those rules? They're restricting, right? There's these things that I wish I could do, but I've got these barriers that kind of keep me contained. Really, we should think about God's instruction as the slingshot that forces us to go towards what is good. God isn't keeping us from good things in his instruction. He's moving us. He's bringing us to. He's pointing us in the direction of what is best for us. But that's not how we often feel. Which is why we need to remember what we talked about the first night. We can't let our hearts, our emotions, our affections, when left to themselves, be our guide. We have to fight what we feel with what we know to be true in those moments. We need to go back to God's instruction and say, no, this is what I need. This is what is good. I think going and doing this thing or having this thing or arguing with my parents or promoting strife with my sibling, I think that's going to be satisfying. But that's not really what is good. What is good is obedience to God's instruction. God loves us. He gives good things to us. He wants good things for us. We need to long for instruction from God. We need to treasure God's word. We need to crave God's word and long for it, that he would teach us, that he would instruct us, that we would be grown. If you're just learning a new game, what do you need? Instruction to play it well so that you could be successful in it. Well, listen, when it comes to holiness, when it comes to being pleasing to the Lord, we need a whole lot of instruction. And guess what? God has given it to us. We have all things pertaining to life and godliness through knowledge of him, which he has revealed in his word. What a kindness of the Lord. What a kindness of the Lord. D, proclaim God's instruction to others. This is the next point on your outline. D, proclaim God's instruction to others. Look at verse 13. With my lips I have told of all the ordinances of your mouth. Now, how does telling others help me keep my way pure? Right? How does me telling others about the instruction of God help me keep my way pure before the Lord? Well, listen, God's word is best kept by someone who is proclaiming it, who is teaching others. It's the best, it is kept best in the context where it is being spoken or taught, sung, shared, witnessed with. Do you want to know what helps keep me accountable to the things that I see in God's word? When I have to stand up in front of you guys and teach it. Oh my goodness, how horrible would it be to teach you guys to love God's word and not actually love God's word myself? Talk about a hypocrite. That would be awful. There's an accountability that comes with teaching God's word. Do you guys remember James 3:1? Anyone who's paying attention on Sunday mornings? Come on. Zach's looking it up. James 3:1. Those who teach God's word are held to a stricter judgment. Right? Do you remember that now?
Yes.
Why? Because if you're going to teach others, if you're going to direct others in the way they go, you're accountable for that. Not only what you say, but that you live in consistency with that. That you're consistent in how you live with that. In order to keep God's word, we need to know the word of God, and not merely in just a surface understanding. We have to know it in our inner depths. And have you also ever heard that when you teach something, you end up knowing it a lot better? That's true, and that's a part of this as well. If you're able to explain the gospel to somebody else, you're going to have an internal understanding of the gospel that's much stronger. Have you ever been asked to do something, and you're like, well, yeah, I can do that. And you kind of fumble your way through it, and then you have to teach somebody else, and you're like, oh, okay, I got to really make sure I know this, because I'm actually walking them through it. It kind of makes you slow down and really evaluate it more so that you can get it right as you impart it to others. We have to long for instruction from God. And in that, next, we proclaim God's word to others. We tell others of God's truth. It's so ingrained in our hearts that it's flowing out of us. And we have a competency. Do you know what that word is? What's it mean to be competent in something, Hannah?
Understand something?
Yeah, to understand, to be diligent with it, to be capable within it. If you're competent, it means you're like trustworthy with whatever that thing is. You're able to do it. You have integrity in doing that thing. We have to be competent with God's word so that we can teach others with God's word. This is part of keeping your way pure. Next, E, rejoice in God's instruction. Rejoice in God's instruction. Look at verse 14. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. What? Are you serious? Like, more than if someone gave you a Tesla, you would rejoice in someone giving you God's word? That's what the psalmist is saying. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies, the instruction of God, the way that you instruct me to live from Scripture. I have rejoiced in it as much as in all riches. Your reaction to the instruction from God and his word is one of so much joy and rejoicing that it's greater than if you were given all riches. What? Really? Well, listen, this makes total sense. If I rejoice in God's word, if I celebrate and treasure and value God's word, if my heart leaps at God's word, I will keep God's word. And listen, what God's word brings into your life, salvation, is far greater than any treasure of this world. At first, you see the statement, and you're like, really? God's word? More than all these other things? No, I'll take these other things. And what that reveals is that we don't have a full understanding of the richness of God's word, that eternity for you could or has been changed by God's word. The best riches can bring, all the riches of the world, all the riches of this world can only bring a temporal satisfaction that will only last as long as you live. But the riches of what God's word brings, that brings you immeasurable joy, satisfaction for all eternity. Yes, rejoice in God's word. Rejoice in God's word. Rejoice in God's instruction. Does your heart leap for God's word? Maybe even when you thought about coming to camp, when your parents taught you about coming to camp, did your heart leap? Oh, I love camp. I love the opportunity to grow closer to God. I love the fellowship that we have. I love the instruction from God's word. Or did your heart sink? Oh, they make me do quiet times. Oh, there's so much teaching. That reveals a lot about your spiritual state, about whether or not you even care about keeping your way pure, about where your treasure is, about where your heart is. If there were two things outside, one, mountains of treasures and riches, or the other, a Bible, we said, walk out of this room, pick one, and you can't have the other for the rest of your life. But you can have the one for the rest of your life. What do you think you'd choose? And if you're sitting there going, I know what I'd choose. The riches. That is the most heartbreaking expression of where your heart could be. Rejoice in God's instruction. Next, F. Meditate on God's instruction. Letter F. Meditate on God's instruction. Meditate. Look at verse 15. I will meditate on your precepts. What's a precept? Does anybody have a different word in one of their translations? Verse 15. Everybody has precept? What's a precept? Oh, I almost saw a hand go up. Kelso's. Jonathan.
Isn't it like teaching?
Yeah, like a teaching. Yep. Is that what you were going to say, Eden? She's like, it is now. Yeah, a precept, an instruction. Right? He'll meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. Give attention to your ways. Consider his way, God's ways. To keep the word of God, we must meditate on it. We must meditate on it. Your precepts, and he'll regard your ways. What is it to meditate on God's word? It's to recall to your memory, to think on it, to really ponder, to not just have a superficial reading, but to really contemplate, God, what is this? What does this mean? What is this revealing about you? The very things that we talked about earlier in regards to kind of studying and really digging into scripture intentionally to try to mine the wealth of riches within it, that's to meditate on God's word, to think about it, to have it dwell in your heart, to just ponder and consider, to think about his ways, to keep them near and on your mind. To roll it over and over in your mind. Have you ever been in a circumstance where maybe you get into an altercation or a debate, and then you go away from that debate, and you just replay that conversation over and over again, and you're like, I should have said this. I'm like the king of what I should have said. Okay? But you go to bed that night, and you're just playing it over and over in your head, and you're like, come on, brain, turn off. I'm exhausted. I gotta get up in the morning. And it's just really hard. Okay? That's what God's word should do in our mind, but not in like a pit in your stomach, I wish I would have said this, but in like a, your word is amazing and I just can't get it out of my mind. Really? Really? You give me all things that I need to be pleasing to you? Oh man, I can think about this way that I need to be more pleasing to you. And no, I can think about this way where I think I was pleasing to you, and that's your kindness to me. You're just thinking about those things. You're meditating on those things. You're regarding God's ways and his instruction as his guidance for you. Interesting fact, the word for meditating, this is pretty graphic, but it's actually really helpful. It's the word used in the ancient world to represent a cow that would chew grass. Okay? And when a cow chews grass, it chews and chews and chews until it becomes what? Anybody know? Close. What? I heard somebody else say it.
Cud.
Right? It chews and chews and chews. Over and over, trying to pull out every drop of juice and nutrient, savoring it all throughout the day. This is how we're to interact with the Word of God. Where it's just like, man, we just can't get enough. We just want to pull everything out of it that's there. What's the truth, though? What's the reality? Can we ever exhaust the riches of God's Word? No. But we try. We meditate on it. G, this is the last one that we see here. Joyfully retain God's instruction. Joyfully retain, so two words, joyfully retain God's instruction. Verse 16, joyfully retain God's instruction. Look at verse 16. I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. He's delighting, he's joyfully, and then he's not forgetting, retaining, to keep with you, to retain something, is to keep something with you. So he's rejoicing in God's word, and he's wanting to keep it with him. He's not wanting to forget it. He wants to retain God's word. He wants to remember it and not let it go. Did you guys get that? Are you with me when I say joyfully retain? Do you see that in the text? I will delight in your statutes. He's going to be joyful within them, and he's going to not forget them. He's going to retain God's instruction. God's word cannot come and go in your life. It must be written upon the tablet of your heart. You must absorb its truth, absorb its riches. And this might be memorization or retention, things like that. And the psalmist declares, I will not forget your word. God's word has found a home in this psalmist's heart. I heard the most sweet story of an old woman who was sick with, I think it was dementia, and she couldn't remember her closest relatives. She couldn't remember her name at times. She couldn't remember where she was. She couldn't remember anything about her past. You know what the one thing she could remember was? God's word. That's just super sweet. It seems as though God's word was so ingrained on her heart that she did not forget. She forgot everything else. It's just a sweet story. We should all long to be that kind of person. I know people who are terrified in their heart. They've expressed, man, there's hidden sin in my life I haven't dealt with, and I'm terrified of if I started to lose my mind, what would come out if there was no restraint? That's heartbreaking. But to have on your heart so ingrained God's word, it's what you delight in. It's what you long for. It's what you love. It's what you think about. You might be thinking, man, this just seems really extreme. This seems so far from where I'm at. Well, listen, you're young. Hopefully you have a long life ahead of you. Start now. Don't wait. Don't think, oh, I'll get serious about God when I get older. I'll address that sin when I'm older. Don't wait. Like I said, God's instruction is a slingshot thrusting you towards what is good and right for you and what is pleasing to the Lord. Delight in God's word. Have God's word so on your heart. This is the fulfilling practice of how you can keep your way pure. Train yourself to delight in God's word and train yourself to memorize it, to know it, to not forget it. So that when you're in those situations where there's temptation to sin and to do what's wrong, in your heart, in your mind, it just comes, your conscience is informed. Wait, no, I know that's not pure. That wouldn't be in accordance with God's word. And I'm delighting in God's word. I love God's word, so I don't want to violate it. I want to do what's pleasing to the Lord. And you keep your way pure. Do you want to keep your way pure? That's really the answer. As you're here this weekend, and we're talking about shepherding your heart and bringing your heart before God's word, so that you might grow closer to God, so that you might grow in holiness, so that you would be pleasing to the Lord. Really, the question is, do you want that? Have you repented of your sins? Have you submitted your life to God? If not, I would plead with you, do so. Don't wait. Don't live in the mire, in the muck of your own sin. Turn from it. Pursue what is pure, what is right, what is good, what is for your good, which is to be near to the Lord. And if you are in Christ and you're like, man, I want to mature, I want to grow, I want to be pleasing to the Lord, how can I keep my way pure? Shepherd your heart with God's word. Keep your heart according to God's word. And what would that look like? Use this outline. Read through it every day as you start your quiet time. Use the resources you were given in your last breakout when you study your Bible. Bring your heart diligently to God's word, that you would have a fulfilling practice of keeping your way pure by keeping your way according to God's word. Let's pray. God, your word truly is an invaluable treasure. To think that through your word, we could know you, we could have fellowship with you, we could be saved from our sins and our trespasses, we could be brought into fellowship and peace with you by the power of your Spirit, using your gospel to transform our hearts, God, it should be overwhelming. And so we pray that you would do that work in our hearts, that you would break down the walls of sin that we so often want to cling to and hold on to, and Lord, that you would break down a heart that would want to mock at what is truly precious and good and right, that you would break that down, that you would break us down, so that we would humble ourselves before you, so that we would submit ourselves to you, so that we would have affections for you above all else. And Lord, I pray that you would help this weekend not just be something that gets us excited about God and then slowly dims as we step back into the world, but that these tools and these things that we've learned would really fortify us as we press forward in our faith and in our pursuit of you, so that we would be able to live holy and grow in purity as we step back into our normal lives tomorrow. We need your help. We need your help to do these things. We need your help to impact our affections and our desires for you. Help us to be faithful to you. Help us now to be an encouragement to one another as we split into our small groups. I pray for good discussion and transparent hearts and much wisdom as we seek to care for one another. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.